So it is Thursday morning, February 19th, and we are settling in to reflect on the message from just last night at New Life Benson. We're looking at the transcript from the Wednesday evening service. Brother Steve walked us through lesson 52 of 1 John, and the title was Our Purifying Hope.
And what a timely message. I mean, you look at the headlines, you see the fires in the plains, all the instability.
Yeah.
It is, it's very easy to feel like things are shaking.
Right.
So I think our mission today is to really look at the counter narrative from this service, you know, to ask, how does the theology of the end times actually change how you handle your Thursday morning commute or a tough diagnosis?
That is the key, isn't it? It's not just about charts and timelines. It's about how you behave. It's about your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we usually jump right into the theology, but I actually want to start with the feel of the room itself. When you read this transcript, you get a really specific sense of the community.
Oh, for sure. It's not a lecture hall. It feels like a family room.
Exactly. And you see it right away in the what he calls the housekeeping. You've got the baby bottle drive that's wrapping up.
Right. You said the bottles are dissipating, which is such a funny way to put it.
It is. It means people are actually doing it. Then there's the ladies' luncheon. And he was very specific about the time. 1 p.m. sharp.
He was. If you're not there at 1 to order, it ruins the copacetic vibe. It's a small detail, but it speaks to the fellowship of the group.
But the part that actually made me laugh was his whole take on the road construction on the way to Tucson.
The test of your witness?
Yes. Driving to Tucson is one thing, he said, but coming back through that merge, that's where your sanctification is truly on the line.
It's so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, you know, it bridges into the more serious stuff. They spent time praying for the ranches in Kansas and Oklahoma. With those fire.
And celebrating Eden Pam's granddaughter getting out of the hospital.
And Linda avoiding that gallbladder surgery.
Yeah.
So you have all this real life happening. Health scares, traffic, and face. And a pastor who admitted he had a Pepsi and might be a little fidgety.
I appreciated that. Beware, I've had caffeine. But, you know, even with that energy, the core of the message was so incredibly focused. So let's get into that. Our purifying hope. Scave started by really defining what the hope is. And it's not just, you know, a wish.
No, and this is so important. In our language today, hope implies uncertainty. You know, I hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
But biblically, in 1 John 3.2, the hope is a certainty. It is the appearing of Jesus.
A literal event, not a metaphor.
Not a metaphor at all. We shall see him as he is.
And the result of seeing him is that we shall be like him.
That's a transformation. But he brought up a theological nuance that I think we need to pause on. He said God keeps his people through the energy of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, we know that.
But, he added, in response to the people's will.
That sounds like a tension. Because we hear so much that God does all the work, so why does my will matter?
Well, it's the difference between salvation and sanctification. Steve is saying we're not passive. We have an active part in our own purification. We have to want to abide.
We have to choose to be faithful.
Yes. The Holy Spirit is the power. But we are engaging our will to walk in that power. It's a partnership.
So that when he appears, we have confidence, not shame.
Exactly. And speaking of that appearing, Steve really emphasized the imminence of it.
He called it the next big event on God's calendar.
A signless event.
Which is hard for us. We love signs. We want a checklist.
We do. But his point was that for the church, for the rapture, there's nothing that has to happen first. It could be any moment. And there's a real comfort in that. It means all this chaos we see right now isn't the final word.
Right. But not everyone agrees on how that story ends. And this is where Brother Steve spent a good bit of time, and I think it's important we cover it. He took on preterism. So for anyone listening who maybe doesn't have a seminary degree, can we just break down what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. Preterism, or more specifically what he called hyper-preterism, is the belief that pretty much all of the end time prophecies, they already happened.
Back in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem.
Correct. They look at Matthew 24 where Jesus says, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. And they say, see, Jesus was talking to the people right there.
So it all had to happen in their lifetime.
That's their argument. But as Steve pointed out, that creates massive problems with the rest of Scripture.
Huge problems. Like, if 70 AD was the second coming, why is there still sin? Why is there still evil?
As Steve put it, Satan seems to be doing pretty good if this is supposed to be his big defeat.
Right. If this is the new earth, it's a little underwhelming.
It really is. And then there's the physical resurrection. The Bible promises a bodily resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
If it all ended in 70 AD, then believers are just what, disembodied spirits?
Which is where he brought in his golf story.
Oh, that was great. He said he was playing in gale force winds. His left knee was swollen.
It ain't feeling glorified right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it makes the point perfectly. We groan in these bodies. If the resurrection already happened, we got a raw deal.
But the most serious problem, and Steve really drove this home, is what it does to our motivation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you believe Jesus already came back, you lose the hope. The anticipation is gone.
And 1 John says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself.
So if the hope is just a footnote in a history book, the motivation for purity, for living with that eye on the sky, it just evaporates.
That is a bleak outlook. It really does steal the forward momentum of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also talked about the other side of the coin. If preterism is looking too far back, there's the error of trying to look too specifically forward. I'm talking about date setting.
Yes. A trap Christians have fallen into over and over again.
He mentioned Hal Lindsey. I think a lot of us remember the late great Planet Earth.
Massive bestseller.
Mm.
Lindsey figured a generation was 40 years. Israel became a state in 1948. So 1988 had to be the year.
And then there was Edgar Wisenant.
The 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988 guy. Steve said millions of those little red books were sold. Then when 88 passed, he just wrote another one for 89.
I'm guessing that one didn't sell quite as well.
They catch on eventually. Then there was Harold Camping with all his predictions.
The tragedy here, though, it isn't just that they were wrong. It's the damage it does.
That's the heartbreaking part. These men brought discredit to the name of Christ.
Yeah.
They made believers look foolish. And Steve was honest. He said before he was saved, he was one of the people mocking Christians for this very thing.
It's a direct disobedience to what Jesus said. No man knows the day or the hour.
We're supposed to live in readiness, not in calculation.
So if we're not looking back to 70 AD and we're not circling a date on next year's calendar, how are we supposed to live? And this brings us to the application. Steve used an analogy that I think everyone gets immediately.
The police officer on the interstate.
The Interstate 10 analogy.
Yep. He said, imagine you're doing 90, which don't do that. But if you are, and you see a state trooper on the side of the road, what do?
You slam on the brakes, your heart jumps, you check your mirror.
Immediately. Why? Because the anticipation of authority changes your conduct. Right now.
That is such a clear picture of the purifying hope.
It is. If we truly believe Jesus could appear at any moment, like that cop just around the bend, we're not going to be speeding through life carelessly. We're going to check our speedometer. We're going to purify ourselves.
It changes how you plan your future.
It changes everything.
All right.
How you do business, how you treat your family, how you handle your private thoughts. As Steve said, you have to live with one eye on the sky.
And it's not about fear of getting caught. It's about readiness to be received.
That's a great way to put it. The cop on the road produces fear because you're breaking the law. The appearing of Christ should produce joy because we're abiding in him.
You know, as we start to wrap up, there was a moment at the very end of the service. It wasn't a deep argument. It was just a simple story about a child.
Viviana. In Ms. Betty's class.
Yes. Steve said he saw her and she told him, I have Jesus in my heart.
And then she opened her little hand and she was holding a tiny plastic baby Jesus.
It's so simple. But it captures the heart of this whole thing, that childlike faith. And it led Steve into a prayer for the grandchildren.
Yeah, that they would all be God's children.
That's the generational hope, isn't it? We study this stuff not just for ourselves, but because we want our families to be part of that kingdom.
We want them standing there with us when he appears.
So what's the takeaway for today? We've talked about the errors to avoid, but the positive action is really just abiding.
That's the word. Abide in him. Walk with him, talk with him. If you're doing that, then the second coming isn't a scary topic. It's the blessed hope. It's the moment we're all waiting for.
It's the happy ending to the story.
The only ending that really matters.
So to you listening, maybe you're driving right now, slowing down on I-10. Take a moment. Just check your own speedometer. Are you living with that anticipation?
Ask yourself.
Yeah.
If he appeared right this second, would you be ready?
Stay faithful. Keep looking up. And remember, that road construction, it's just a test of your witness. We'll be back with another discussion soon.